Live from Crestview Studios, Florida, it's the Dave and Duke Call-In Show. And now here's your co-host, Speak Free Radio owner David Gahari and the incomparable Dr. David Duke. Limber up your dialing fingers.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Dave and Duke Call-In Show. Let's see if we're coming through loud and clear. All right. Let us see if I could hear myself yapping. And I can. Yes. All right. Excellent. So here we are. It is March 3rd, 3-3. Unbelievable. Again, where does the time go? March 3, 2024. And this is a month of the official beginning of spring already. Last week, I forgot to mention that it's spring here in the Florida Panhandle. So it was warm enough to go outside and to begin the ritual of weeding. And it was a short one, but they're out there and going to do some more this week, starting this week, or resuming this week, and getting the lawn ready for the warmer months, which are here. Right now, it looks like it's in the lower 70s here in the Florida Panhandle. Very beautiful. Florida is just really beautiful. And of course, here in the Panhandle, we get all four. They say you can get all four seasons, weather of the seasons, in one day, and you do. You know, in the morning, during the winter time, it can go down to the teens and the 20s. And then it can shoot up all the way into the 70s and 80s, which it did last week. It hit like 83, which was pretty cool. So, the Dave and Duke Call-In Show on speakfreeradio.com. And this is for, of course, the new listeners, which there are new listeners all the time. If you go to speakfreeradio.com, you can click on that little black triangle in the yellow circle if it looks that way to you, and then it'll play. You can listen right on that site. If you're on a cell phone, smartphone, you can click on the mobile pop-up player. Actually, the image itself is not there, but it says mobile pop-up player. We were doing some renovations on the site, and a couple of images disappeared. But nonetheless, everything's still there. It's just the images aren't there. If you go to the podcast tab, you'll see, again, sometimes there's images missing. But you'll see certain images there that have remained. And then certain other ones, if you put your mouse pointer over the images that are gone, you'll see the name of the shows at any rate. The ones that are missing right now are Freedom Enough, Hoax Busters, Dave and Duke Call-In Show, Sane Asylum, and Perfect Triangle. And you click on them, and then what will happen is that will open up into the podcast page. And you can listen to all the shows. We had a little trouble with that a couple of weeks ago, but it's all good now. And the podcasts are up there for your listening pleasure. If you go to the call and chat tab, again, there's a couple of images missing, but you will click, or you'll put your mouse pointer over those. The first one is this show, the D&D Call-In Show. Dave and Duke Call-In Show. You click on that, and you can come into the studio, and you'll go in the waiting room if you have a question or comment. If you don't have a question or comment, there's no reason to come into the studio because it just takes up room. And then the folks who do have a question or comment would be precluded from getting in. So if you don't, just listen on speakfreeradio.com. And that will work just fine. Okay, the show, as you may or may not know, it is a call-in show. And anyone from anywhere around the world can call in and ask Dr. David Duke a question or make a comment. and he has 2 minutes to answer. And of course, that 2 minutes is based upon how packed we are. Sometimes we're really busy. Sometimes we're not really busy. So it's dependent on that. If it is busy, then about 15 seconds before the 2 minutes, you'll hear this sound. And then on the 2 minute mark, you'll hear it again. And then Dave knows time is up and we got to move on to the next caller. So let's see what else is going on. Okay. Thank you, Elizabeth, that you could hear me. All right. Dave is here and he's telling me, let's go. Too long an intro. Ready to go. Got stuff to say. Oh, boy. Unbelievable.
Oh,
the guy's pushing me around already. Holy mackerel. All right.
Somebody's Dave. Got to, buddy.
I know. You're right. How are you, my friend?
I'm just fine. I've got a lot to say. I want to talk a little bit about a friend of ours, a good guy over in Great Britain, who got sentenced to 2 years in prison for putting up, you know, Wake Up Britain.
Did he murder someone?
Stickers. No, he actually put up stickers that said White Lives Matter, that said, I mean, you really can't make this up.
Did he hurt somebody?
No. He said he just dared to say the truth. He said that it's okay to be white, and
that must have hurt somebody.
The court actually said that he did not break any laws, but this was an intention to commit genocide. I mean, here you have the Jewish state of Israel. And the government of Great Britain is supporting this genocide, just like America is, in Gaza, with tens of thousands of Palestinian men, women, and children being murdered and maimed. I mean, it's unbelievable. And they're putting a white guy in there for saying it's okay to be white. Now, I wanted to say a couple of words to start the show, because sometimes it's good to make a little 5-10 minute thing short, and then we'll go to the whole questions and answers, and you can be very strict on that. But I want to make a point about the discrimination going on against white people and the fact that we're the ones that are being genocided today. And genocide is a destruction of the genes, and there's no doubt about it that there really is a genocide, a replacement of the white population. Genocide is defined as the United Nations as the destruction of a people, whole or in part, aimed at destroying them. And these Jewish extremists have, for decades now, many, many decades, in fact, for 100 years, have openly stated that they want to replace the white people of the United States and Europe, anywhere in the world, with non-white people, outnumber us and outvote us. And this is something that they admit in their own groups. The Perlmutter Institute, which I quote in my book, Jewish Supremacism, My Awakening, we actually quote them where they talk about how then this is what they said back in by the 70s, 80s. They said, we've already achieved a situation because of our efforts in America, because of our power in America, effectively, that no longer can a government of the United States be elected that's a Nazi government. Of course, anything's defined as a Nazi government that is at all concerned about the preservation of our people, of our civil rights, and we're losing all of our rights. And I've been talking about this for decades in my life. I've been portrayed as a terrible racist. So I've got a few things lined up for you tonight to just kind of illustrate the propaganda. You know, at the age of 16, I saw through the hypocrisies, you know, at the age of 14, I think by that time I did. For all the media's prattle about the myth of race and how the promotion of everyone as an individual, it constantly promoted pride among Black people, among Mexicans, among Indians, Jews, especially, of course, while at the same time instilled the collective guilt of European Americans, even a demonization of European Americans, where they were actually promoting Blacks to hate white people so much that they knew there'd be violence from it. And there has been. I have right in front of me, I brought this out for the show today, just as I did earlier in the week, last week on my show. I brought out the statistics from the Justice Department from just a couple of years ago, and they show amazingly, just a few years ago now, a couple of statistics. One is the statistic showing that there's 500,000. There's some cross-racial crime on both sides. But the crime of white people, any sort of violence against black people, is a tiny fraction of black violence against white people, even though blacks are 10% in the American population, 11% maybe black males are actually less than that, probably 6% of the population of America. Over 540-something thousand whites, more than a half a million whites, are murdered, assaulted, raped, robbed, or hurt by black people. In terms of cross-racial crime, the Justice Department was showing that 45,000 white women, and it varies, it goes from anywhere from 25 in the last 30, 40 years to 45 or 50,000, showed some years with 45,000 white women in America being targeted and raped by black males as compared to 0%. I mean, zero with an asterisk. This is right under their figures of the race of the predator, where they keep these figures very carefully to protect us. That's like a genocide. I mean, that's massive attacks. And yet with the George Floyd stuff around the world, you portray, you know, blacks being killed by whites. So I just want to cause and talk about a couple of hypocrisies here. And I want to do say something here that it's important to say. That there's always been kind of a differential in crime rates between blacks and whites, and it's true almost all over the world. You go to the Caribbean countries, the countries that are the blackest in the Caribbean, they go to the countries around the world that are black, the crime rates are always much, much, much higher than any European countries. But the interesting thing is that these differential crime rates, if you look at the cross-racial crime, it's staggering how different it is. Again, if 6% of the population are black males, yet they're raping, you know, 45,000 white women, and there are almost no black females at all raped by white people, that's an enormous crime. If that was reversed, that would be first thing in the media. But the Jews have been part of promoting this. I got in front of me the book called Soul on Ice by Eldritch Cleaver, who is a promoted guy. In fact, his book Soul on Ice, in which he talks about raping white women as revenge, you know, for white racism or whatever, raping white women, innocent white women, red-haired, blue-eyed, blonde white women. He actually says this stuff, Eldritch Cleaver. And then the Jewish publishing companies publish his book, you know, justifying this hate. They promote this hate and violence against white people that caused tens of thousands of white women to be raped, caused, you know, more half. There's a differential of almost a half a million people. There was more than a half a million white people every year are harmed, raped, murdered, assaulted, whatever, by blacks than the other way around. So if you look at the cross racial in terms of white population, black population, you're talking about, 30, 40, 50 times more likelihood of a black person hurting a white person. Now, again, I believe the result of this is because of the change in our country taken by the Jewish control of our country and the fact that they've incited massive hatred against white people. So I have about five quick, you know, sentence long, get examples of the hypocrisy. Here's a guy sentenced in prison for 2 years for putting stickers out saying white lives matter. My God, white lives obviously don't matter, and they don't. And saying that it's okay to be white. 2 years in prison, being kidnapped from his home and his family. This is a huge human rights crime from his family. And obviously not bringing money into the family that it needs, not giving the love and care to his wife and children. I mean, it's an amazing...
Well, what about his child, Dave?
Exactly.
They have a newborn.
Yeah, exactly. A newborn. And it's just amazing to think about. That's what I'm trying to say. It's amazing to think about these crimes on a massive level but they're totally ignored. So let's look at a couple of the hypocrisies. Okay, when blacks defend their rights, the media depicts it as love and brotherhood. When Jews defend their right, they say, oh, my God, it's a horrible thing. If a Jew feels gets his feeling hurt because they're talking about Jewish genocide against Palestinians, right? They want to fire them from their jobs, destroy them, put them in prison, call it anti-Semitism. And it's now anti-Semitism to criticize Jews for murdering and maiming tens of thousands of children. And remember the October 7 terrible terrorist atrocity killed a total, according to the Israeli government, of 36 Israeli children. I can tell you most of those actually died from the Israeli overreaction and the bombings and the missiles that they fired into the kibbutzes where they had casualties, and because of the so-called, what they call it, the Hannibal Doctrine. But anyway, that's just a good example of the first bigotry I want to mention, right? So the media calls hatred and bigotry anytime you criticize Jews, even for mass Jewish massacres. And they always mention the Holocaust, but they never mention the Holodomor, where 7 to 11 million Ukrainians were killed by Jews, by a Jewish Eichmann, so to speak, behind it, named Lazar Kaganovich, or the Jewish mass murders of communism. And always the Holocaust is evoked, never the Jewish Holocaust. It's simply more appropriate, I would think, for the media to talk about the history of Jewish Holocaust. How about Netanyahu raising his voice and telling the Israeli people and the Jewish people of Israel, and they're Jews, really, but telling the Jews that the Palestinians are Amalek. And every Jew in Israel, and everybody who really reads the Bible at all, knows the Amaleks, that Jews were ordered to kill every man, woman, child. And just to make sure they didn't misunderstand, also kill the suckling babies, too. You got to kill the sucklings at their mother's breasts. Why don't they mention that in terms of the history of Holocausts and the histories of murders? And they have 64 separate Holocausts of whole peoples. It's listed in just the Torah, not counting the Talmud. The Talmud says the best of Gentiles should be killed. The hypocrisy is everywhere. Next one, racial discrimination against better qualified blacks. If blacks happen to be better qualified, and usually they're not, obviously, there's racial discrimination for blacks who are less qualified. That's fine. But when racial discrimination against better qualified whites is called affirmative action, equal opportunity. When minorities or Jews express overt pride in their heritage, it's called to be good for their self-esteem. When whites do, it's the proof of our hate and ethnocentrism. When a rare black on, when a rare white on black crime occurs, it's the media covered hate crime. Millions of blacks on white attacks are simply called crimes over the years. Any crime against a white is called racist hate crimes. Discussing discrimination and century-old slavery against blacks is healing. But discussing the millions of white victims of black crime is hateful. And especially, no one even dares even to say a single word about the Jewish mass murders under communism and the Jewish mass murders and genocide right now, and identifies them as Jewish. They always say Israeli. It's Jews who are committing this. It's a Jewish state of Israel. It's Jews who are massacring Palestinians. And yes, do some Jews oppose it? Some do. But organized Jewry and the collectiveness of Jewry doesn't. They tell us every day about Chinese crimes or Russian crimes or these other people. But they never talk about Jewish crimes. Hypocrisy is everywhere. So it's healing to talk about centuries-old slavery. It's healing to talk about really blaming and getting hatred going against white people and Palestinians and drive them, hate against the Goyim, because of their crimes against us. But it's healing to talk about others. A segregation of races in schools and neighborhoods is morally evil. Integration, which has resulted in destruction of our major cities in America and really increased crime, rape, murder, robbery, and assault of millions of whites. And it's been millions over the years. According to the Australian newspaper, did a whole study on this, 170 million white people in like 30 years. And this was like 25 years ago when they did this. 170 million whites were harmed by blacks and they were harmed by blacks, so robbery, rape, assault, you know, murder, whatever. That's nothing, right? The old film portrayal, the old film portrayals, which were also by the Jewish media, of good-hearted black, you know, waiters and maids. Now they're doing whites as the demeaning one. That's demeaning. That's horrible. But thousands of portrayals today's media is unspeakably evil whites doing all sorts of hateful things to minorities. That's uplifting. And of course, a black revolutionary, as I said earlier, such as Eldridge Cleaver, who boasts of raping white women, is extolled as eloquent by the New York Times, whose books are published with nothing but hate. And this is a guy that was raping white women. Imagine if that would be in reverse. This is the truth that the real destruction of human rights, this double standard and hypocrisy everywhere, and the true victims of human rights are the Palestinians, which are being killed and murdered and tortured by these Jews, and the Europeans who are right now being replaced and destroyed and just literally wiped off the earth in the world. Our birth rates now are 1/4 of our people are destroyed every generation because they have pushed programs and policies that have led to the lowest white birth rate ever. And a birth rate that destroys 1/4 of our population every single generation. This is going on right now, folks. And this is why I'm censored, why I'm repressed, why I can't even get a credit card. Hopefully we'll get some from somewhere soon, but we got to find it. We got to go to terrible faults and problems to do it. Why they can't stand us to tell the truth, because the realities of the real destruction of human rights in this world is won by the biggest racists on the planet, the Nazis. It is a Nazi world order that's dominating this world. It's a Nazi government that's ruling the United States, but it's not a Nazi government of German National Socialists as they portray in the Hollywood films. It's Jewish Nazis who are exactly in the very worst excesses and the evil presentation they give of Germans in the Hollywood movies, which are the most extreme examples of murder and genocide and death and destruction and hate and degeneration and perversity. Yep. And
Dave, the anti-white hatred, yeah, that you've been tuned into for almost 60 years,
yep,
is on full display for everyone to see. And obviously they've lost control of the narrative, and all of your work, all of your life's work, mm-hmm, is coming to its fruition. And that's why people love you. That's why you're here. That's why you're talking about these things. And that's why we're going to get to the calls now. You ready?
You got it. Let's go.
All right. Okay. Jimmy, go ahead, buddy. You got the floor.
Jimmy, are you there? Okay.
Hey. Sorry. Hello, I didn't Jimmy. Plugged in. Hey, man. Good to see you guys. You know, everything you say I've ever heard, you can't deny it. It's totally true. And, you know, this, to just what you guys are doing to try to get a piece of what the media is, and a piece of the truth out there, it's the most important thing you could do, and you guys are doing it, man. It's real, you know, both of you. And but yeah, Dave, I understand you're blocked on all kinds of stuff, and
yep. Well, we're still reaching people. I mean, my books are still read, and I'm going to offer my digital book. Before that, we still could find it certain places in the internet. But my digital book, The Secret, I'm going to offer actually digitally first Jewish Supremacism, as well as you can buy a copy right now from Dave Kahari. And I'm always offering it too. People want to write to me and they have $50. I'd send them a copy. Dave Kahari also sells it, signed edition, which is great. And he makes money in that too. So that's great. You're supporting our work on both sides. But it's just amazing to think about how the narrative that I've been saying for years. I mean, I created the term Jewish supremacism, which I, because I thought that was the most accurate. I always talk about white supremacism. I said, well, you know, when you start looking at Jewish power and Jewish racist supremacist ideology, and you actually look honestly at, in fact, the Jewish religion, and it's the most racist ideology of all time, the most supreme, the most radical, the most evil, the most genocidal in all time. I mean, the Germans, whatever they want to say about the Germans and the Holocaust and all the rest of it, long before Hitler came along, Jewish communists and Jews, the organized communist movement around the world, which, by the way, Winston Churchill himself said, not Adolf Hitler, not David Duke, Winston Churchill said it. Of course, Hitler said similar things. That doesn't make Hitler wrong, and it doesn't make Churchill wrong because Hitler said the same thing. Churchill had a big full-page article listing and showing how Jewish communists had gripped the Russian people by the hair of their heads and had produced a red terror killing millions and millions of people. And in that article, he talked about Leon Trotsky and how these communist Jews were leading the communist movement all over the world. In fact, he listed all of the major countries of the world where the movement was led all over the world by these Jews like Karl Liebknecht. In fact, Karl hasn't ridden to that point yet in Germany, but the Communist Party in Germany was led by Karl Liebknecht later. And by the way, except for Hitler, the Jewish communists were taking over Germany and Russia at the same time. Probably Europe would have fallen, folks, to Jewish communism. But he actually quotes Winston Churchill, and he says that Winston Churchill was trying to take over the world for the Jews through communism. It's these Jews. And he talks about the other opposition to some of this was the Zionists, and that itself was a lie. It was truth what he said about Jews want to take over the world of communism, but then he tried to say somehow Zionism was a good thing. But in fact, it was Zionist capitalist Jews that supported the rise of communism. And Zionism didn't get its big push until communism was overthrown by the Russians, and then they turned against Russia in the 1940s and 50s. It's really what really happened, folks, if you understand history. And then secondly, when Israel came about, then they shifted to Zionism. So communism and Zionism are the same force. It's just a genocidal. They celebrate. There's 64 different genocides I dug up out of the Old Testament the other day, looking at my Bible and what they call the Bible Gateway. 64 different genocides of man, woman, child.
Yeah, war on the innocent people.
Yes, right. And this,
Jimmy, we'll get you back in, buddy.
And yet nobody ever talks about the genocidal aspect of Jewish racism that eclipses any other sort of racist phenomenon in the history of the world, with more history of it and more horror than any other group in all of
history. Except for us.
That's not even counting
food.
The wars they've created, which has killed, 100 million people, the major wars?
And counting.
And counting, right. Yeah.
All right, Dave, let me ask you a question before we get to the next caller, real quick. Do you think that the West, the allies, nuzzled up to Uncle Joe because they knew that their combined forces could not defeat Germany?
Who are you saying nuzzled up?
Churchill. The Americans, the British, the French cooperated with.
Oh, yes,
with
they definitely nuzzled up to
Uncle
Stalin,
Joe, because
the same way
they
that
knew
Hitler had to
could
do that to a degree too before the war.
Right, right. But did they align with filthy Jewish communism and Stalin because they knew that their forces, their armed forces, could not defeat Germany without aligning with Stalin?
I think that was certainly part of it. And I think that there are still a lot of oppositions to Stalin because of the fact that Stalin, you know, arranged for the assassination, the murder, hatchet in the head, I guess it was, of Leon Trotsky in Mexico. They hated, they were beginning to, but they were still believing that, and they did have control. All during the war, they still believed and they saw the Bolshevik Russia as a Jewish state. Kaganovich, for instance, was the deputy premier. The head of the propaganda was a Jew. And I think that they felt the blip of Stalin, who went against some Jews, not against all Jews. He aligned himself to certain Jews, the only way he got to power, that they saw Stalin as a blip. The blip became a volcano. I mean, Stalin, by the time the war was over, first of all, he realized in the war that he wasn't going to win the war without resurrecting Russian nationalism and talking about Mother Russia. That's when they got rid of the communist anthem, which was a weird globalist anthem, and he changed it with the song of, or the hymn, an old Russian hymn, right? And they started even allowing some of the church aspect. And then by the time that before he died, he was getting ready to send all the Jews in what was traditional Russia to Azerbaijan, right? This Jewish republic, 2,000, 3,000 miles, 2,500 miles away from
Barajevan or something like that.
Barajevan, Barajevan. But Azerbaijan. But
so they needed Stalin.
Well, they needed Stalin, of course, because their main enemy was Hitler all the way.
Right, but they couldn't beat Hitler up until the end, right? I mean,
they couldn't beat Hitler.
They had an incredible.
Well, they didn't have that. That's the thing. They didn't have, and of course the Bolsheviks were looking for opportunity, and that's why. And there's a lot of evidence that the Bolsheviks were getting ready to attack Germany because by that time Stalin knew they could see how the whole world was going against Germany. It was probably a matter of time. And that's when Hitler said, if they don't strike first in terms of Russia, they were going to learn the war. There's a lot of evidence the Russians were amassing to fight, and that's what even some Russian historians that I've read have
stated. Thanks, Dave. Let's get to the next call.
You got it.
All right. Okay, Dotard Blumpf.
I guess interesting discussion, though, I think we're having.
Yes, right? Absolutely. Right. Yeah, Dotard Blumpf, I think that's a play on Donald Trump's name. Okay, Dotard.
Go ahead.
What's your first name and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Richard here. How are you?
You got me.
I managed to get you.
See that?
Finally.
You got me. Actually, you didn't. I just let you have it. Go ahead, my friend.
Well, I thank you very much for your kind words for Sam Melia, the patriot who was given 2 years by a judge. I understand, and I don't know if you knew this, David Duke, but the judge is a proud communist. There's a photo of him that I've seen online of him holding his arms up in the air with a statue of Nelson Mandela in the background. And he famously has also sentenced Sam Melia to these 2 years prohibitive sentence, so designed to ward off others to follow him in his footsteps, whilst at the same time, I think, allowing a pedophile to go free. So it really does make a mockery of UK justice and the institutions which, for a long time, the British were held in high esteem for having created the Mother of Parliaments and all of these various bureaucracies.
I wanted to comment on what you said, and maybe we can get time for that.
Go ahead, David. You can make your comment.
This is one of the most important points, which I think you're alluding to, and we've got to talk about a little bit, because they talk about communism, they talk about this and that. It is really important to note that Jews always try to control the opposition. They did it in Russia. Lenin said, who was Jewish, by the way, but Lenin said it very well. We're going to lead the opposition to defeat. And I do believe that there are some Jews who honestly realize the evil of Judaism. In fact, Israel Shahak wrote a book called 2,000 Years of Jewish History. And that's one of the books that educated me on Jewish racism. And I'm thankful for that Jew. I know Gilad Osman, who's also a Britisher today, or lives in Britain, I should say. He was in the IDF, but now he goes all over the world and exposes Jewish genocide in Gaza. He opposes the Jewish state. He opposes Jewish supremacism. He even opposes jailing people who even question aspects of the Holocaust. He believes in freedom and freedom of speech and the preservation. He even has a very fondness for European civilization. And there are Jews out there do it, but it's just kind of interesting how that a lot of them who are leading some of the criticism of Germany, excuse me, I made a Freudian slip there, of Gaza, because I think of Gaza in many ways and the genocide they're faced. And Jews created a genocide also against Germany in that war, a war that wasn't necessary. That was a genocide against Europe. It was the Second World War. Anywhere between 50 and 80 million people dead. That was the greatest genocide in the history of Europe, history of the world. And the First World War is the first greatest genocide. And again, I can show the clear Jewish involvement in promoting that war and creating a world war out of a dispute in Poland, where Germany had pretty good arguments. If from the basis of what Germany did in Poland, that there should have been a world war, then there should have been a world war against America 50 times over, right? Even since the Second World War. I think of all the countries America's invaded for alleged crimes and for alleged violations, even though many of these countries did nothing against America. I mean, you can take a look at Grenada. You can take a look at all these different countries all over the world. You know, the Cuban invasion. It's just amazing. Yet, you know, they get a pass. But Germany, who simply was trying for free representation for their people, you have a war for that. And Germany tried to make peace. They tried to go to diplomacy, which makes the Second World War totally unnecessary, which makes the Second World War not worth it. There's no way you can justify the death of 70 million people over what happened in Poland. And I don't think that there would have been any other German invasions, because actually wasn't the aggressor in any of these countries. They voted legally to go to Austria. They said that was a horrible thing. They voted legally, obviously, in Alsace-Lorraine, the territories of Germany, which were unjustly taken and controlled by a foreign country for 20 years, more than 20 years since the First World War. The Germans weren't taking over the world the same way Russia wasn't going to the West in the Ukraine War. These Jewish wars have been Jewish wars and Jewish wars.
But Dave, let's get to Richard's question.
I'm going to get to the last point, and I'll be done. It won't be long. So just recently, I just saw a thing in this major publication that pointed out there were 2,400 Jewish scholars and Jewish people in academics all over the world condemning Israel for its genocide. That's pretty amazing. I still want to point out to you, in terms of the globe, that's like a drop of water in a swimming pool. I'm glad that they're there. I appreciate them. And it helps prove to people that Jews, you know, that there are some really good Jews, and there are good Jews that oppose Israel. But let us not forget that the most powerful Jews in the world are Jews that control our major media, which all these people complain about as well, who are behind all these policies that are destroying Europe. These people are united as a group against us. And even those people that are sometimes condemning the genocide against Palestinians, they don't dare raise their voice and make clearly call out the Jewish genocide against us and communism. So that's another good example of how they just, you know, they, and I agree that some of them don't talk about this who know about this, because I've talked to so many of them, but some of them, you know, do talk about this quietly, or do allude to like Jewish control of the media, or allude to Jewish supremacy in the Western world. But the supremacy and the murder in Israel against Palestinians couldn't happen except for Jewish supremacy. I think that was an important point, and I thought Richard, he was alluding a little bit to that, Richard.
Yeah, Richard, go ahead with your question, because we're filling up.
Yeah, well, my question really dovetails into the politics of the judge that sentenced Sam Melia to 2 years in jail. He was a communist by that photo. I wanted to ask David Duke, if I may, whether he sees the communism of the 20th century contiguous with the globalism of the 21st. And as a final adjacent to that, I think it was Jacob Rothschild who passed away. I believe it was either in the week or maybe not too long ago. And the Rothschilds obviously are almost an aristocratic name associated with Jewish power. How powerful are they now? So it's a two-part question. Thank you very much for your time. And cheers, David Gahari.
Well, I think there's no doubt, as I said earlier, that communism was an international movement trying to take over the world. Jews and the Jewish religion, it's a movement that believes not simply, it didn't believe what Christ suggested, which was the salvation of the soul and the laws of God treating everyone like, you know, like your friend, like your brother, fairly. It didn't say you couldn't defend your homeland, or it didn't say that, you know, you wouldn't stop somebody hurting you. In fact, Christ himself went into the temple in Jerusalem and drove out the moneylenders. You know, it's like the Goldman Sachses of his time, right? And he said all sorts of very, very hardcore, considered by the Jews very anti-Semitic things, and they called the New Testament anti-Semitic. And that's why they hated Christ, and that's why they hated and persecuted Christians. But but the reason why they hated Christ was because Christ wasn't going to be a Messiah that was going to fight for Jews to rule over and kill people in the world and commit genocides against all humanity, which Jewish doctrine said was, you know, we're nothing. We're just evil, evil souls and inferior people. And that's why they hated Jesus Christ, because Jesus taught a universal salvation. He taught peace and love, which are fundamentally, I do believe, things that are very close to the European soul, and one reason why Europeans adopted the Christian religion, because I think at heart we have that kind of a spirit, where Jews have had a long legacy and an inbreeding of Jewish hate, and they've had a culture, a super racist, hateful ideology, which is the most hateful ideology in the world. The communists, or let's put it this way, the National Socialists in Germany did not really spend much time on Jews. Oh, they had some documents and books you could read about Jews. They didn't spend 90% of the time, you know, talking about all the crime, even the crimes that Jews had committed, which they knew about in Russia. They talked about their vision for Europe and a vision for Germany and a vision for a beautiful and wonderful country and rights and freedom and values for their people and survival of their freedom and their people against communism. They did talk about that, but it wasn't all consuming. But look at all the movies that they make since the Second World War. Most of the movies are made about Jewish victimization by Nazis and crimes against Jews historically and anti-Semites and all the rest of it. Germans didn't spend time on that. And Jews consider all of humanity to be, you know, basically intrinsically in their very DNA. And I've quoted that here in the show. I'm not going to quote it again today.
Dave,
intrinsically anti-Semites and Nazis.
Dave. Let's just get to these two questions real quick, because we're filled up. One is the communism of the 20th century is what's happening now, the globalism of the 21st century, a continuation of that?
No, I don't think it is. I think it's a new rendition of it. It's a new synthesis between some aspects of communism. Certainly the idea of an all-seeing, all-powerful.
But it's the
government.
Jews. It's the same Jews.
Yeah, right? It's just a continuation of Jewish power.
And Rothschild, is the Rothschild dynasty still involved in that, or are they
I think they're minor players at this point, honest to God. If you just start looking up Rothschild family members who are still very wealthy people, there's no question about it. But there's some groups of Jews that are far more. Look at the Oppenheimers, for instance, in South Africa, or the diamond mines. They have huge wealth. Look at the 17 of the 25 hedge fund operators in Wall Street. Are Jews. The two biggest media conglomerate type predator criminal banks in the world are Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan. They're Jewish. They even do international criminal conspiracies. Right.
But the Rothschilds are not like a major player now, you think?
Rothschilds have been superseded these days.
Yep.
But it's still the same Jewish race.
By other Jews. Okay, we got
to move on. And I think going always to the Rothschild thing, it's very good looking at the historical record of the Rothschilds. At the same time, it poses a problem, because the real Jewish power, I don't think, resides in them. The real Jewish power concerns the people who control Israel, for instance, the people who control the global media. That's the most powerful force in the world. And it's not just about just Jews and non-Jews. It's really about even among Jews themselves, because they influence Jews by the attitudes that they present in their media and government and other policies.
Thanks, Richard. We'll get you back.
I hope that answers the question, Richard.
It does. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Richard. Okay, let's bring in Robert from Yuma. Go ahead, buddy. You got the floor.
Dr. Duke.
Yes, sir.
One of my social media posts was taken down on Facebook, and I was banned for 30 days. And its visibility was limited on Twitter for being, quote, hateful. The post simply said that in Russia, they have a law that no teacher can promote trannies to their children. And to me,
that's supposed to be a hateful comment to state something factually. That's true. They do.
But to me, I believe that those who are encouraging the self-destruction behavior of homosexuals have hatred. What do you think about that?
The self-destruction of homosexuals. Well,
the ones who promote it are hateful. Do you agree with that?
I think those who promote homosexuality, whatever one thinks about that or whatever one's perversions are, used to be considered a mental illness or some sort of aberrant type of behavior which were destructive. So I believe that homosexuality overall has been a very destructive phenomenon in Western civilization. And, you know, when people talk about human trafficking, for instance, when they talk about sexual exploitation that goes on, we have in the modern world today, we have one out of six boys, young boys, we're talking about children here, who are abused, sexually raped, often with horrific sodomy and other sorts of degradation and rape. And some of them are murdered, by the way. And it's just unbelievable. And their lives are really destroyed, whether they're murdered or not. I mean, they're terribly abused. This is a horrific form of pedophilia. And so I don't think the homosexual behavior is something that should be lauded, even made to be something special or cool or telling. And certainly young children should never be taught that homosexuals are really your friends. And that older man who wants to be your friend who's a homosexual and says to young kids, maybe you're a homosexual too, you know, because you don't have a girlfriend or, you know, you don't have any muscles yet. You're just a young boy. And they said, maybe you're really a girl. And maybe you should let this older man fundamentally rape you. They don't say it in those words, but they destroy their ability to defend themselves. And to me, that is a criminal act. And I do think if a person's going to be a homosexual, my father used to put it this way, if a person's homosexual and he warned me about them as a young man, and he said, I don't care if somebody is a homosexual, what they do in their private life. But if he wants to be open about it and promote it, he shouldn't be in school. If people don't know about it, if he keeps it, you know, quiet, I don't care, you know, as long as he doesn't try to hurt anybody, and certainly as long as he doesn't promote this kind of behavior that is so destructive to anybody that practices these kinds of behaviors. It's not a natural thing. It's an unhealthy thing. It leads to all kinds of diseases. Homosexuals have a much lower shelf life than heterosexuals in so many ways. They die earlier. They die of terrible diseases. They commit more rates of suicide. It's not because they're hated by others, and those rates are still going on. It's because, well, homosexuality is not good for their health. It's certainly not good for children who are abused by them and hurt by them, and their lives are destroyed by them, and it's not something that should be promoted in society. Simple as that. I think that's a reason. In fact, it's an
all right, buddy. Thanks, Robert. We'll get you back
in, buddy. Thank you, David. Thanks.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Okay. All right, Michael, the floor is yours, buddy.
Hey, Dr. Duke. How are you doing today?
Fine. How are you?
Hey, good. I'm doing well. Did you ever meet Ernst Zundel? And if you did, can you discuss his life's work?
Yes,
Ernst
I have.
Zundel?
I have met Ernst Zundel a number of times, and we conferred many times. We talked to each other hundreds of times on the telephone. We shared data. Ernst and his wonderful wife, love my work. And in fact, they even said they gave me one of the greatest compliments I think I ever got from someone, because I really, you know, compliments aren't important to me. But when some people that I know are really knowledgeable and have a lot of input with people around the world, they told me one time, in fact, they even told me this in Mexico at an international anti-Zionist and anti-Jewish, to be frank about it, Jewish racist global convention in Guadalajara, Mexico, about 6 or 7 years ago now, I guess. They even told me, and they told others, they said, we thought that your chapter on the Holocaust, even though it didn't directly say that there was no Holocaust, but the chapter, they said, was the most convincing, the most moving 80 pages they ever read about the Holocaust and about the criminal behavior of the government and the media in kidnapping people and jailing people for daring to question different parts of it. And I went into that, but I also gave the arguments that, and because that's the only way that you could say freedom of speech should be allowed, to give the arguments that Holocaust revisionists actually say. They're not deniers, they're just questioners. And that even the name denier is like, because people associate the word denial with denying a crime. You're not committing a crime by questioning any historical event, or the realm of it, or the aspects of it, or the motivation of it, or the documents behind it, or the evidence for it. And there are a lot of mainstream evidence, like the International Red Cross, which inspected, believe it or not, the Germans. If the Germans were doing this, and if you believe they were still doing this, maybe they were, even with having the Red Cross come in every 2 or 3 weeks and visit with the prisoners. If they're doing this massive mass murder of Jews, I don't think, if I was a country that was doing that, I don't think I'd let the Red Cross come into all the camps and interview the prisoners by the thousands and give them packages and letters and taking letters from them to give to their relatives. I mean, just freely given letters. That the Germans weren't even trying to censor those letters like most prisoners are censored in American jails. And if there was really what they say going on, it just seems odd that the International Red Cross, and the International Red Cross itself did issue a paper at the end of the war saying that their estimate was about less than 220 or 30,000 Jews dying in the process of the war. And they actually said that they believed most of the deaths were from, you know, not from executions by any means, or purposeful killings, but by disease and other aspects that were created in the war. The International Red Cross said this. In fact, the President of the United States of America, Franklin Roosevelt, was hearing these stories. And by the way, the entire media and the entire government of the United States dismissed these stories and said, you know, there's no evidence for any Holocaust going on, even though the Americans would know this. They were flying over Auschwitz almost every day, taking high-resolution pictures. I mean, they would have seen if all these peoples were going, or at least I would think so. Maybe there's another explanation, but you don't see people crowded 10,000 a day, they were telling you. Bashir Shapiro told us the other day at Auschwitz with Elon Musk, what a cuck Musk is sometimes.
Yeah, that Shapiro's a little warm.
What happened to Mr. When he Zandell? Said, when he, wait, when he said that, Mr. Zandell, he said there were 10,000 Jews a day. Well, you know, it seems like with bombers flying over and high-resolution photography going over the camp all the time, they would have seen this. They would have seen the carts of Jews being moved to whatever, to the ovens. They'd have seen the crowds getting off the crane, waiting in the area where they would say that the gas chambers were, right? And then not coming out of there alive. Not, you know, they would see that by the pictures, you'd think, when they're taking pictures of
it. Dave, let's get to his question.
But those are Zandell questions. And I'm not saying the Holocaust didn't do it, because if I say that specifically, I said there are legitimate questions. And the truth is, I know a good member, former member of the European Union and the European Congress, and he was charged with an offense and fined tens of thousands of euros for simply saying that he doesn't know he's not sure what the exact number of Jews that died in the Holocaust were, for not just respouting what not all Jews say, and many Jews say different numbers. They actually charged him with a crime because he didn't say that, quote, unquote, 6 million. So if you just violate that by one person, you're liable to be sent to prison. I mean,
Dave, what about Sundell?
What happened to Mr. Sundell?
I knew Sundell very well.
Was he persecuted? Did he serve jail time?
He was terribly persecuted. Oh, he was run out of the United States even though he did nothing wrong. They lied to him about different aspects of they did everything right. And then he was railroaded, sent to prison in Canada, and then prison extradited him to Germany, where he was prosecuted. I mean, for years. And this is a man that's kidnapped from his wife, kidnapped from his country, and his only real crime was being an intellectual who gave good arguments. Arguments they had to silence rather than debate. You know, when you have a person say that commits a murder. You hear about this all the time, right? So somebody commits a murder. Another person witnesses the murder or has facts proving this person committed that murder, right? Or not committing murder, say proving the person committed the murder. They have a reason to kill that witness, don't they? And they do. And you hear about this all the time. Kill that witness, suppress the witness, intimidate the witness, do whatever they want to. If you really have a good case and you really can stand the cross-examination, the problem Jews have about all this process is they don't allow a cross-examination. They don't even allow a cross-examination of me or me to cross-examine my critics. I can't. I'm one of the few people in America that is not allowed to defend himself. Yet we always consider it this, you know, they always say about Israel, they have a right to defend themselves. Yeah, they can just go, they can slaughter 75,000 Palestinian people, right? Slaughter them. And that's just defense of themselves. Well, I can't, you know, when they say terrible things about me and terrible lies about me, I even in Wikipedia, I can't put, I'm not going to go into this. I've talked about it before in the show. I can't offer the proof I can show from the federal government and the IRS that I didn't cheat on my taxes, which I was sent to prison for. I can prove
that. Thank you, Dr. Duke. All right, man. Thanks
so that's how that's right. how they
we'll,
work.
We'll get you back in. We'll get you back in, Mike.
That was a good section of this.
Thanks. Okay, Dave, we're going to take a top of the station break. Excellent. Excellent show. We'll be right back. I'll be right back, Dave. Okay, folks, this is the Dave and Duke Call-In Show on March 3rd, 2024, and it is just about in 15 seconds. It will be 7 o'clock p.m. Central Time, and the show is broadcast on speakfreeradio.com, and check it out. And, of course, there's a bunch of other shows and hosts that I'm sure you will enjoy. So use your mouse and click around and enjoy. Okay, Dave, we're going to get to the next call.
I have a two-sentence quotation.
Yeah.
To start this out.
Yes.
Okay. This is from that organization and the website I was talking about on the major Jewish groups now, which are using my words, my definition, my terminology. Quote, another prescient Jewish-Israeli initiated document from August 2023 titled The Elephant in the Room. Now, this is even before the October 7th. Includes charges against Israel that refer to its illegal occupation, ethnic cleansing, apartheid, and Jewish supremacism over Palestinians. Over 2,400 scholars in Jewish-Israeli-related fields signed on. Over 200 scholars in Jewish studies. So now we are learning that there are actually a few thousand Jewish scholars who are certainly not biased against Israel, raised as Jews, almost all of them active Jews, living in Jewish milieu, who now agree with me that there's a serious problem among Jews called Jewish supremacism, and that Israel is a Jewish supremacist, racist, the ultimate racist side on earth. And many of those Jews, not all, but there's a great number of them who also are saying, like Israel Shahak did, and I've been saying for years, that Judaism itself, is no argument about it, is the most racist, political, as well as religious, racist ideology and supremacy the world has ever seen. And they are really the true people that they refer to as Nazis, a Hollywood version of Nazis, who are mass murderers, criminals, killers, and haters. And they really hate the entirety, almost the entirety of humanity, right, except for the 90s.
It's our time. It's except, our time, buddy.
Yeah, except for the 1/5 of 1% of the people who are Jews. They hate the rest of humanity and yes, claim they're, and they're all and they're evil
controlling,
Nazis.
And they're all, they're controlling.
I know, it's crazy. Right, you can't even it make is. That.
That's okay. We're gonna take them down.
That was a good start, though, for the hour.
Great start. We're in the second hour. Okay, so let's bring
we've proven that even there's even thousands of major scholarly Jews that agree with me on this.
Exactly.
Subject. Isn't that crazy?
Yes. Catherine, go ahead. You got the floor.
It's logical.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Dr. Duke. Hello, Dave Gahary.
Hello,
hope
Catherine,
everybody is doing well.
Good.
Would you like to hear just before I get to some, you know, real life experiences I've had recently? Would you like,
Catherine?
To hear?
Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Duke?
Well, comment.
Okay, go ahead. You got one comment, and then we got to go to the next call. Go ahead.
All right. So
I'll try to have some time to comment on your comment. Go ahead.
Are you aware that?
That sounds like a question.
Okay.
Either way, it's fine. Let's just go for it. Go for it, Catherine.
Israelis get free transplants, organ transplants in America, plus the airfare. Have you ever heard that?
I haven't heard about the free transplants, but one thing I do
know. And they get preference over Americans.
They also get preference over Americans right now in buying stolen Palestinian land. And that's illegal by American law because you can't discriminate by ethnicity or anything like that in America. And by the way, Jews have already been ruled by American federal courts as a race. And yet they literally are having, they're having auctions among Jews of Palestinian territory to Jews in America, and it's only available for Jews to buy the land in the occupied West Bank,
you know, it just
which is
makes,
not their land. That's amazing to think
about. It makes your blood boil. Yeah.
So, but as far as transplants are concerned or whatever, we know that Jews, you know, we had that big thing in New York about the tunnels under New York, and the Jews go scurrying like, you know, whatever. I'm not going to say rat. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but they look like rats going down there.
Mm-hmm.
Look like one of the films one time the Germans made, you know, which was not very complimentary. But anyway, that we know that these same kind of people, these same radical Jewish extremists did, and these were rabbis running it. Rabbis were running a sexual organ, or not sexual.
Dave, did you say radical or radical?
Radical rabbis.
Yeah, radical.
Radicals.
Rats.
That's right. Radical. It's kind of like a testicle. But these Jews have. I got to make a joke once in a while. These Jews literally have run these rings where they kill people. Literally kill them. Most of the time they die. They steal their kidney. They steal their liver, which kills them automatically. They steal their heart or whatever. And they don't wake up in the morning, but, you know, they knock them out, steal their organs, and then they sell them on the market. And Jewish rabbis were involved in this. This is really true. It's an organ trafficking ring. Can you imagine this about Catholic priests getting together or some Protestant priests getting together with an organ trafficking ring? No, I don't think so. There's something quite unique about Jews. I'm not saying that all Jews are white like this, but my God, sometimes you can judge a group by the most extreme personalities of the group and their extremities and their actions. For instance, right now in Gaza is proof of that. This is unlike any so-called apartheid state. In fact, the apartheid state of Africa wasn't about killing black people. It was about giving them massive hospitals and medical care, giving them education, you know, not only secondary education, to be able to read and write, but graduate educations and teaching them about freedom and allowing them to have great vast areas of South Africa and totally control them by their own leaders and their own elections. it certainly has no relation whatsoever to Israel. So apartheid, by trying to link it to white South Africa, is another way to demonize us. The truth is that Europeans are just like Palestinians. Palestinians, when they knew that Jews were coming in by the millions and they were being brought in by the British government that had the mandate over Palestine, and nothing they could do about it, just like our governments are doing in the EU and America against the will of the people of Europe and America, they knew that this would end up being disastrous for them. They knew these Jews, too, were racist, and they didn't want these Jews to come in and take over their country, and they opposed this massive migration, this massive immigration. And later, that some mass immigrants, then not only did they attack and kill and murder and ethnically cleanse the Palestinians, but they also attacked and murdered and tortured British soldiers and British and even UN administrators who were trying to, you know, to make a decent type of society. But no, they violated every international law. They've been doing this for 75 years. They kicked 750,000 people out of their country. They raped, they murdered away across Palestine, and they wiped Palestine off the map. That's the reality of it. And yet, all we've heard for the last 70 years is how, oh, we got to watch out for those Arabs. They want to wipe, you know, Israel off the map. No, Israel already did that. And they were going to, oh, yeah, what would they say? The Palestinians are going to push the Jews into the sea. I tell you who got pushed into the sea. It was just people like Rafal, many other areas.
From the river Palestine. To the sea. All right. Thanks, Catherine. Yeah, we'll get you back in.
There were hundreds of thousands of Palestinians who were pushed into the sea, into the boats out of their country and into the waters.
What's that, Catherine?
Go ahead, Catherine.
I was just going to make one comment, and I can't remember what it was.
All right. Well, remember, we'll get you back in.
Just keep me in.
All right. We'll get you back in.
Okay.
All right. Justin, how are
too
you, my friend?
Too much truth here, folks. Just too much truth for you to see.
Hey, good evening, Dr. Duke and Mr. Gaheri. How are you all doing?
I love to give lessons, and today I'm just giving lesson after lesson and fact
shocking
after
facts.
Fact and truth
shocking
after
facts.
Truth that are
that's
undeniable,
great.
But they change the world, don't they? They change everybody's outlook of the world once you hear them and understand they're true.
Yeah, I think I might have a stumper for you, but I don't know. You're pretty good with this stuff, Dave.
I'll try.
So in my research, I found that the grand architect and grand, I'll say Papa Smurf, right? Granddaddy of all of this anti-white, pro-usurious, anti-European, anti-Christian, anti-Catholic, you know, Marxist, communist, whatever you want to throw in there, all of this filth and debauchery is Sabbatai Zevi. And then Jacob Frank, and then into the Rothschilds. I mean, these three bastards have started all of this. And I would love to hear your comments on this. That's all.
I think, are you talking about, I know.
I gotcha. I gotcha.
No, there was an Ottoman rabbi named Sabbatai Zevi, but is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, he had a million followers. He converted to Islam to save his neck. Yeah.
I know all about him.
He started all.
He was a Kabbalist rabbi.
Yeah, he was a Kabbalist.
This is way before the modern era. This is in the
1666.
17th century, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, 1666 was the year that he thought, you know, the Messiah was going to come back. But he goes on to later finance Jacob Frank, who then financed the Rothschilds, who, you know, have really subverted Christianity, the Freemasonry, right? Started the Illuminati, all these dark hands, right? French Revolution, and they're really it's really the cornerstone of all this debauchery. And I think it's important that we school our people to these things, you know.
Well, they say, you know, Jews say to him that he was doing a heresy. Well, that, you know, the only reason they said he was doing a heresy because he was exposed for just nothing but just sheer evil, and the Gentiles were finding out. So
yeah, blood libel, child sacrifice, orgies with hundreds and thousands of people. I mean, this is, you know, behind the scenes, this is what they do. And they're still around.
Oh, by the way, I should say, I remember there was a lot of controversy with him and wanted the exposure of him was about the same time that the Jews were fighting the Cossacks. Again, this is really important to know this history. Like,
I agree. Ever,
anybody that talks about, you know, Ukraine and acts like they know anything about it. I lived in Ukraine. I studied for my doctorate in Ukraine. I know about Ukraine, right? And you must understand the history of Ukraine. Now, the Jews have been at war with the people of Ukraine for hundreds of years. And by the way, in fact, this guy, what was his, you know, Sabbatai, I think was his first name. I keep forgetting his last Zebby. Name. Zebby.
Zebby. Yeah, Zebby. Z-E. There's a couple spellings, but
Anyway, he was like, he said that the salvation would come about like in the middle of the 17th century, right? And this was about the time when that they alleged that the Cossacks did this slaughter of Jews at one point in this uprising, right? And this really terrified the Jews. And then he said all these things about how that it's crazy.
They need to do the opposite of good, he said.
Oh, yeah.
They need to sin, you know, in order to get their Messiah. Yeah. I mean,
he said so many things, which, but by the way, it's no more radical than anything that said when I quote from the Jewish Week back in, 2006, I guess, or so. I can't think, trying to think of the year. It was in April. But anyway, Jewish Week, where Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg, who did this, the halakha, which is the halakha is the Jewish law. He did that column in the most popular, biggest Jewish newspaper in the world. And he wasn't fired for this column either. And in the column, he said, quote, he said, how Jews are special. Jews are exceptional. They are the living tissue and issue of God. So they are all gods, basically, by themselves. And there's something very unique about Jewish DNA. So then he asks the question rhetorically, would it be okay for a Jew who needed a liver, or if a Jew who needed to get a liver for some other Jew he wanted to get one for, if they stop an innocent Gentile, he went to say innocent Gentile, on the street and take his liver for the Jew that needed one? And his answer, of course, was yes. Of course, it would be perfectly moral. It would be the height of morality.
Yep.
Because Jews are those special, you know, they're gods. And yep. A Gentile's liver. So he's telling it's okay for a Jew to kill your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your mother, your father. Let's bring it down to reality here and steal their liver. Now, weren't we talking about organ stealing before?
Yeah, that all goes back to this Frankist, you know, this cult. And that's what modern Jewry is, world Jewry. It's Frankism. I mean, these people do the opposite of good in every situation.
Well, you know, there are some Jews that do good, but unfortunately, there's far too few of them compared to the ones that do so much resounding evil. And the ones that do evil in such a capacity, in such a horror, in such a scale, that it's mind-boggling. I mean, they don't just do evil, they do, you know, like a perfect example is the Sacklers that knew that their drug, which they were building or billing out and promoting and bribing doctors with, was more addictive than heroin.
Yep.
But they said it was not addicting at all, unlike heroin. They knew it was different. We have the documents in the courts. That's one reason why they lost all the court cases. It was a total lie. And because of that, we got 1 million people a year dying right now. And in some ways, it's related. The fentanyl epidemic is related to the Sackler epidemic. And where does money go to? Huh?
Sure it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they can't find their, you know, they don't even make the oxys anymore that these people got hooked on. And if the heroin, you know, most of the heroin has the fentanyl in it now. It's cut with it. So, I mean, it's all related, you know. You know, the people can't get their prescriptions or whatever. You know, they go on and they do street drugs. And the fentanyl's in there. And, you know, as far as the good Jews, well, I know we got Henry Muscovitz and a few others, but, I mean, where they need to be speaking up. Like, if there is any, right, they need to be speaking up because I don't really hear or see any doing much.
You're about to, buddy. That's why Dave just how many was it, Dave? 2,500 Jews?
2,400.
2,400 Jews. It's coming, man. We're here. This is our time.
And by the way, when I talk about Yechetz Ginsburg, you can actually look him up on Wikipedia.
What do you mean 2,400? 2,400 what?
2,400 Jewish scholars, right, have come out and accused Jews of Jewish supremacism, of even Jewish mass murder and so forth. And
okay. All right.
That was even before that when they had that last thing. And 2,400. So there are Jews. But again, that sounds like a lot, right? Well, it's not 2,400. What's the word for it? There's probably 500,000 Jewish scholars in the world, or 500,000 Jews, you know, with graduate degrees, at least, in the world. So it's like a drop of water in the swimming pool, kind of 2,400, right?
Yeah.
If you just had one per thousand, you got 1,000, right, and 1,000,000. I mean, they got a lot of, but it is important to point out, though, that a pretty healthy percentage of Jews, not a healthy percentage, still small, but significant percentage of Jewish scholars who raised as Jews are certainly not biased, who are out there organized enough and motivated enough. Now, the Jewish control Wikipedia, which is run by a Jew, Jimmy Wales, who is a Jew, who got a $1 million prize in Israel, and who openly said he was, you know, very proud, open Zionist, right? And here's a quote directly out of Wikipedia. This is what Wikipedia says. They don't give us the quote because the quote is so powerful, that to read the actual quote is so mind-numbing. It's so, you know, blood-curdling that they don't want to give you the exact quote and set it off in, you know, in bold print like they easily do for quotes, right? It says, this is what Wikipedia says about Ginsburg. Ginsburg stated, on the theoretical level, on theoretical. No, he didn't say theoretical. He said, if a Jew needs a liver, is it all right for a Jew to take? It wasn't theoretical. He was talking about if a Jew needs a liver, that's what he really said. If a Jew requires a liver transplant to survive, it didn't say transplant, just needs a liver, it'd be permissible to seize. He didn't say steal. He used seize a Gentile's liver and take their liver forcefully. Well, also take their life, because that's what you do when you take a liver forcefully. You murdered them. And, you know, but the point is that they admit it.
The black market organ theft is one of the biggest industries in Israel, right next to their diamond dealing, you know, and stealing.
Look, yeah. There's an article in the Forward. I just saw this the other day. There's an article Forward. He's still around, the same bastard. The capitalist who would be king of a new Jewish monarchy in Israel. And it's all about Yechet Ginsburg. And it talks about his massive numbers of followers. It's by a guy named Odenheimer. Let me get it. Just a second. I'll pull it up.
While you're looking for that, also child trafficking and Eastern European women being, you know, held captive and prostituted is, you know,
tens
everywhere.
Tens of millions. It was the biggest human trafficking scheme in the history of the world.
These are our women, and I've had enough, Dave.
Yeah, these are our women. These were primarily Eastern European women.
Yeah, these are beautiful Aryan women, Slavic women.
And from places like Ukraine. So the Ukrainians shouldn't be fighting against Russians. The reason why Ukraine is fighting against Russians is because Jews control Ukraine. Jews control the State Department. This is a fact, right? This is a fact of life. They control the media that's promoted this war. They hate Putin and they hate Russia because Putin overthrew the Jewish oligarchs, whereas the Ukrainians weren't able to overthrow the Ukraine. They didn't have a Putin. So now you get all the Ukrainians dying, because they don't mind killing Ukrainians and sacrificing them.
Yep, and they want their revenge still on the pogroms in the 1800s, 200 years ago, right?
Oh, they never stop.
You know, it's just never stops with these people. Victoria Nuland.
Yeah, right. Noodleman. Thanks, Noodleman. We'll get you back in, buddy.
All right, thanks, guys.
Hang out. We'll get you back in.
Juland is good enough.
Yeah, Juland, exactly. Dave, we're going to go around the horn, all right?
Go ahead.
All right. Jimmy, go ahead, buddy. You got the floor.
Okay, hey. Well, that caught me off guard, but hey, let me tell you, who hates Christianity more than Jews? I mean, they're the number, you know, they're our number one enemy, and that's even worse than the Muslims. You know, but after they outlawed Christianity, they legalized rape in Soviet Union. You know, gave out letters to present.
They gave out vouchers that any one of these Jewish commissars, overwhelmingly Jews, could give to any woman, and said that, all right, this means if you know that this person has authorization, you know, to have sex with you, and you can't refuse them. You know, and if you do, you'll be prosecuted. Literally, you can't make it up. It was like a Jewish wet dream, right? But this is what Jews, this is the kind of things that Jews do. How many thousands of women through prostitution rackets and even through Hollywood and even the massive porn industry in the world have been defiled and their lives destroyed by these Jewish porn kings and prostitution. White slavers. There's really good documentation of this in my books, Jewish Supremacism, of course, and also in My Awakening. And I document all this from major papers like the New York Times, that really show and prove and quote Jewish magazines like Moment magazine, big Jewish magazine, that talks about the center of this human trafficking, which was led by Jews, and about how they ridiculed and they just abused the Russian women and even mocked them about for being so beautiful and blonde. They weren't like we Jews. They didn't look as pitiful
like
as
Freud
we Jews.
Said.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Hey, that war in Gaza is just a war on innocent people. You know, really, it's
Every time anybody gives money to Gaza or weapons to Gaza, it's just making sure that more. Not Gaza. I'm talking about Ukraine again. Yeah, anybody who gives money or weapons to Ukraine is just ensuring that there are more Ukrainian young men with their whole lives ahead of them being destroyed.
Yeah, I would have thought some of the guys would have turned their guns in the right direction over there. But, like the guy that set himself on fire, there's got to be a point where people just break and say, like, hey, look, I ain't taking it no more. And the Jew's the enemy, and there he is. You know, it's like if you're eating, having a steak dinner, and George Soros is in the next table, you know, your steak knife might do some good, you know?
I'll give you another. We're talking about the foreword. I pulled that up. You know, it says, so let me just read from the foreword. This is one of the biggest, one of the most, intellectual and important Jewish newspapers in America, which is kind of, generally speaking, more liberal. Ginsburg, it says, has penned more than 80 books in Hebrew and English. And while the Israeli public is most familiar with popular booklets that address controversial political topics, such as occasions when it's permissible to kill non-Jews, the lion's share, which is a lot, by the way, the lion's share of his work is broader and deeper. He has written books on Jewish law, religion, science, Kabbalah, psychology, love, marriage, and education. He wrote a children's book. Over his 5-decade, Ginsburg wrote a comprehensive religious doctrine that touches in each and every aspect. He's in a 2013 heretical, on the one hand, he's a brilliant thinker and innovator, has a great sense of humor, wide knowledge of Kabbalah as well as sciences. On the other hand, this person disseminates racial and violent preaching. No, he preaches mass murder. He preaches genocide. But the interesting thing about this, and this is the thing that we've got to bring up before we go to the next question, it's really simple, very easy, very powerful, but so important. We got to bring up the fact that the chief rabbi of Israel was a man, and now it's his son, was a man named Obadiah Yosef. So I have a BBC article headline right here where it says, and I'll quote it for you. I don't know why it's not coming off. Here it is. Rabbi calls for annihilation of Arabs. He's not just a rabbi. He's the head Sephardic rabbi of Israel. He is the most powerful rabbi in Israel because he's the guy that controls the political policies of Israel in terms of immigration, making sure it's Jewish, marriage, making sure Jews only marry Jews and vice versa, and other policies. And he's the one that also, he's the one that tells the army what to do and all sorts of other things in terms of their policies. Rabbi calls for annihilation of Arabs. This is how it quotes Rabbi Yosef, top rabbi in Israel, and really probably the most main spokesman for Judaism worldwide. He's the chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel, the political head. He is like the authority. He's got as much authority to Jews around the world, Orthodoxy, because most of the world Jewish group is Orthodox. He's as much authority to them as the Pope is to the Catholic Church, right? He says, talking about Arabs and Muslims and Palestinians, quote, "It's forbidden to be merciful to them. You must send missiles to them and annihilate them. They're evil and damnable." He goes on to say, quoted as saying in the sermon delivered on Monday to mark the Jewish festival of Passover. And by the way, even though Passover is treated as like this beautiful, solemn Jewish ceremony, do remember the clear fact, we know what it means. It's celebrating an evil spirit sent by God, allegedly, to kill the firstborn of the Egyptian children and people. The firstborn. Kill all the firstborn. Every firstborn. That's genocide. But again, I'm not going to argue with all the Old Testament. I'm not going to make a big deal about this. But I do want to point out that we do have a New Testament and a New Covenant. And I do believe that Christ came to fulfill the covenant of God and man, but the covenant that Jesus brought us, very, very different than the old covenant, because it was absolutely the idea that we need to treat people with love and kindness and not with mass murder and extermination.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy.
And a second, hey, thank you, guys.
One more second. We'll he also made in, another buddy. Famous sermon to all of Israel on Israeli radio. This is not hidden, right? Another sermon. And he said, quote, "The only purpose of any Gentile," which is 99.8% of the people on earth, "the only purpose of all Gentiles, every Gentile on earth, is to serve Jewish masters. That Gentiles must dig, deceive, divine, and work while we Jews sit as a findi," which means master, like a slave master, "and sit and eat while Gentiles do all the work." And by the way, it should be said that this rabbi who called for annihilation of the Palestinians, mass murder, genocide, a rabbi who said that all the Gentiles, including you listening out there, if you're a goyim, which 99% of you probably are listening to this show, that you and your children and your wife and everybody else you know is meant, the only purpose of them on the earth is to serve Jews like slaves.
And kill the best of them.
I mean, you can't.
All right. Thanks, Jimmy. We'll get you back in, buddy.
You can't make it up. And this guy, this is the last climax of this point, right? So here's a headline from breaking Israeli news from, you know, the Jewish intel service. This is the biggest paper in Israel. They show a huge crowd, over 800,000 packed Jerusalem for the largest funeral in Israeli history. And then they show approximately 100,000 outpouring to attend the funeral reception. Every leader in Israel, left wing, right wing, to revere this guy, the same guy who said he's going to kill all the Palestinians, and that all goyim, including you and your family, are meant, the only purpose they have on earth is to serve Jewish slave holders. I mean, you can't make it up. The Talmud, by the way, says every Jew eventually will have 2,000. It gives a number. It says every Jew will have like 2,801 slaves.
That's are we allowed to pick our particular Jew that we're going to be a slave for, or no?
I don't think they're going to give us that choice, but maybe they'll give you a special choice if you can try to dig up some Jew in your ancestry. Is that possible? I don't think it is, so you don't get to.
Oh, shit. All right, let's bring in our next caller. Lancastrian Jack. Did I say that right, Jack?
And that's what the Talmud says. This is the kind of stuff that's in the Talmud, which people can't believe until they see it.
Jack.
Yeah, that's correct, Dave. Thank you.
All right, Jack. Great to have you aboard. The floor is yours, my friend.
Thanks, Dave. By the way, Dr. Duke, you're on great form tonight. I'm really enjoying the show.
Right.
Let me ask you a question. Would you say it's fair to say that there's a kind of there was an unlikely kind of kinship between the Klan and the black separatists? Because I only asked Dr. Duke because I was watching Muhammad Ali. There's a clip online. He was talking in Manila in 75 before the last Frazier fight. And he was talking very happily and cheerfully about how he used to speak. Or he did speak at that time, I think, in the mid-70s at Klan rallies. And he spoke very affectionately about the Klan.
He did.
Is that a comfortable thing to say that there was a kind of an
offense? He said a number of different things at different times. They used to have all these compilations over the years. I don't know. I have to try to search them out. But he also said, talking about, you know, that they asked him on, I think it was one of these big evening talk shows. What's the name? The guy in Britain, I think, who used to do a big talk show. And they asked Muhammad Ali, what about separate schools for blacks and whites and separate communities? And
yeah.
Muhammad Ali said, well, of course, I believe in that. I believe that red birds should be red birds and black birds should be black birds and stuff like that. And he said that there's nothing wrong with people wanting their children to be like them and their grandparents and preserve their heritage. There's nothing wrong for black people as a group to defend their heritage and interest. And he took his time, to be very fair, unlike these Jews, because Jews just believe in total tyranny over everyone else. But he said, obviously we should be fair to everyone. We should be kind to everyone. You know, we should have good attitudes for everyone. And that's what God wants us to do. But he said, at the same time, and that's exactly the way I believe. I think we should be. And I'm not even going to say that you can't allow some people to do that if they want to. But I'm saying you should allow people that want to preserve their heritage. And in nations where you have the overwhelming majority, they should be able to have immigration laws that preserve their heritage. And the Palestinians certainly did. But again, we have to draw this distinction for those liberals we listen to all the time. And if they tell us that white people in Europe are who want to preserve their heritage are the same as colonials, are the same as white race, what is that about? It's not the same. It's not the same as all what Jews are doing. The Jews didn't come to colonize a state that actually offered, like America ultimately did to the Indians in this country. And there's about a million Indians in America today. And America treats Indians well. In fact, it gives them special tax privileges. I'm not saying the Americans did everything right about Indians, but every Indian tribe, which was considered different heritages, different languages, like the Aztecs is perfect example in Mexico, or the Incas in Peru. If you really look at the Indians, they conquer other tribes, they enslaved other tribes, they persecute other tribes, they even sacrifice like the Aztecs did in Mexico. That doesn't make the Aztecs not a great civilization, and they were. It doesn't make them, horrible creatures today that they should feel guilty about that. It's just the fact that in earlier times, people had different values about different things. But I would compare the treatment of these Indian tribes, like the Aztecs, compared to their neighbors, favorably. I would compare the European treatment very favorably toward theirs. The famous Thanksgiving, which was one of my direct ancestors, started the first Thanksgiving holidays in America. And the people that did the original, Thanksgiving kind of ceremony, not a ceremony, but a get together. Here's the pilgrims, right? They're struggling and they had some problems with Indian raids and stuff like that. But they invited the Indians over to celebrate with their celebration, right? And they invited them to dine with them and to make peace with them and in respect. And this is in American history. The New York, our Jewish New York Times writes this as horror, the terrible, vile Europeans. Jews have a really big right to do that when you look at Jewish history. Just pick up the you know, the Torah, pick up the Talmud. My God, it's just amazing, this hypocrisy that exists today. Yeah. So 800,000 packed Jerusalem for the largest funeral in Israeli history for a guy that said he was going to wipe out every Palestinian. And he also said, quote, and this is quoted in one of these articles, big time, they even put in big print, but, you know, we need to wipe out the seed. We made the seed, Palestinian seed must be wiped out. And that was the Palestinian people, the genes.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what Jews say. And by the way, there's nothing in major leaders of Israel, I mean, really the top leaders, and certainly not in the Christian Church of Israel, which did, in Germany, that did exist, that ever would ever say, we're going to kill all, we should kill all the Jews, or we should kill all the blacks, or we should kill anybody else. And there was never called any of these things for the German conquering the world. And the German government and the German people and the German military and the German, you know, philosophers, they never said, we've got to conquer the world, or we're going to conquer the world. Jews have been saying that for a couple thousand, 2,000 or 3,000 years now, right? Yeah. That they have a right to rule the whole world and everybody in it. And they also, as I said, unlike the Germans, which are not depreciating others, yes, they might, Germans might think that they're better, and then the Poles may think they're better than Germans, and then the Brits might think they're better than that, or the Irish might think they're better, that they're not like those cruel British that came and oppressed us, or whatever. People think they're better. That's all true. But there's a big difference in thinking you're better and then saying that everybody else in the world is evil and they're born evil and that you have to kind of rule over them, like that latest article I read, a recent article in the Jerusalem, in Times of Israel, where Mr. Latham, of Baruch Latham, I think his name was, in the Times of Israel, when he said that all Gentiles are anti-Semites. They're all Nazi, compared to them Nazis. They're all Nazi murderers, basically. And he said, you know, anti-Semitism is in their DNA. It's a fact of nature, right? And then he goes on to say in this article that unless the Jews rise up and unite with their other Jews around the world, and of course they're already doing that in most important ways of all, in media and government and supporting Israel. If Jews need to unite and take over the world essentially and say and bring the entire world under the power of the Jews. And unless Jews do that, and there's restrict this and stop this freedom of speech and basically enslave the Gentiles, that they're going to be all killed and murdered by the Gentiles. That is the greatest blood libel that's ever been reported. It's a lot worse than the blood libel about Jewish ritual murder, which one Jewish major historian, whose father was the head rabbi of Rome, said this really did happen, that these ritual murders of Jews, of Christian children, in this horrible satanic type rituals they would do to kind of symbolize their secret power over Gentiles. He actually says that the evidence, and he's gone through these cases, and there's massive documentation of these cases, their testimonies, the cross-examinations and all this in the courts of Italy at the time. And he said these things did happen. And there's a lot of evidence that there's been some other satanic rituals and murders. In fact, that's what Stanley Kubrick was really talking about with these elites in that in his last famous movie called Eyes Wide Shut.
Yep.
With none other than Cruise and
Nicole Kidman.
Nicole Kidman, that's right. And it was all about the super elite who were all perverted and screwed up and they had, like, sexual tortures and everything else. I mean, it's just crazy. Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah.
And there was also allegedly these things, and there was Jewish writings about this in Hollywood because they loved scandalous things. And they were writing about the fact that Kubrick was discussing this with the Jews, and they were talking about how these things were going on all the time in Hollywood. I believe it, and I think most people believe it. And we have lots of young kids who were also persecuted and raped by these Jews, including young boys, stars, who were rounded, you know, after they came out of against it, of course, their careers were destroyed. But so these things really do go on or have gone. I'm not saying that's common, that all Jews are displaying that. But I will tell you this. Here's the headline I've got right here. out of Israel. And the headline reads from one of the biggest papers, Israel, promised land for pedophiles.
Yeah.
That's the headline. And it's all about how that pedophiles, Jewish pedophiles from all over the world come to Israel, and almost none of them ever get extradited back, only if it's a big enough case where Israel will get slammed because of it. They almost all can find refuge in Israel, and these including lots of big Jewish rabbis and Jewish leaders in their organizations and churches. And so whenever they have this issue and they're charged with the rape of dozens and dozens, if not, you know, it's as bad or worse than any of the Catholic things, which were given plenty of publicity. But you don't hear about the stuff with Israel. You don't hear about the stuff with the Jewish religion. And then you got to go back and read the Talmud. The Talmud talks about, you know, raping the handmaidens. The Talmud talks about raping little boys as well, and saying stuff like, you know, it's not adultery if a married Jewish man has sex with, you know, some sort of a boy who was, yeah, some sort of, well, talking about the sex in this case with a boy, yeah, who's not a non-Jew, because adultery only applies to human beings. Mm-hmm. And Gentiles are only animals anyway. And that's not as bad as if a Jew is having sex with a, not as bad as having a sex, you know, with a beast, because adultery then would take place, and that's maybe even a death penalty if it was another Jew. I mean, you can't make it up, or if you were, you know, married. But if they, and that's where the Talmud is. It's all through these little things they evoke. It's kind of like in a trial where they say the guy gets off on a technicality, or they didn't read him his Miranda rights, and he confessed to all the murders and gave the times and places, which he couldn't have known otherwise, but he gave them all. He knew all the facts of the case, but then he gets off because it's a technicality. He didn't get his Miranda. That's how Jews operate in general. They do the same thing every day about what's going on in Gaza. But now people are beginning to learn, both in America and all over the world, and they're beginning to understand why the headlines don't read, you know, Jews massacre, kill another, you know, they killed just the other day. It's probably, I think the death toll is now about 140, and many others will die because they can't even get antibiotics. But they shot down, you know, and shot 708 initially, probably more. And many of those died, and that didn't die right then. And 700 died. Well, they shot down actually almost 900 people starving, trying to get food, and you just shot them down wholesale, trying to get food for their families, and a lot of them kids. This is true, folks. 900 people being shot down. You know, well, the Israeli government says it's trying to starve them. The Israeli government says it's trying to make sure their water is poisoned, and they only have limited sources of water, so they're forced to drink poisoned water. Water that's poisoned, that gives them diseases. And then, of course, and they really worked hard to disseminate all the hospitals because they didn't want these wounded children by the tens of thousands. They didn't want them to get medicine. They didn't want them to get anesthetics while they were in incredible pain levels. It's just like medieval.
Yeah.
They didn't want them to have medicine. They didn't want them to heal. They wanted them to die of the infections. They wanted their parents to die, their children to die. They were shooting down people at the doors of the hospitals. And they were making sure to specially attack hospitals and attack any nice houses or the nicest houses in Gaza and go in there and really get those people out and kill those people who were writers. More journalists were killed in Palestine than any other place in the world in the history of all the wars of the last 50 years. Mm-hmm. And they kill them because they don't want them reporting the truth. They want to close their voices. They want to close down anybody who has education and ability to lead the Palestinians, because that's what you do to an army. The people you want to kill the most are the best. And it's the same admonition. It's the same directive in the Talmud where it says the best of the Gentiles must be killed.
Yeah.
And they explain it in the Talmud by saying, with this debate with these rabbis, and says, well, yes, the best of Gentiles must be killed. The same way the best of snakes must have their heads crushed. That's how they look at us. And that's a level of hate that far exceeds, just like Jews are saying themselves now, that that's worse than anything, because the Nazi leaders and Nazi ministers and Nazi, people and the people that promoted the Christianity, positive Christianity of Germany, and the Christian church was promoted in Germany. There was a cross above the doorway of practically every German public school in Germany, a crucifix in most cases with Catholics, and a cross with Protestant churches. They promoted Christianity, but nobody in those churches said anything like it's in the Talmud. No. In fact, nobody said anything like that with Netanyahu. That's the facts, folks.
Yeah.
Jack, did you want to follow up, Jack?
They are Nazis, but they're not National Socialists, for sure.
Yeah, one word more, if I may, Dr. Jew. Segregation, would you go so far as to say that segregation is natural, that integration is on? I mean, it sounds like a terribly controversial thing to say.
I would say it, and you know what? There's no reason. I think segregation, for most people, is voluntary. Now, somebody you mentioned earlier, I think it was you, I guess, you mentioned the fact that the Klan and some of the Muslims got along. In fact, some of the blacks, like Muhammad Ali, got along, or at least he understood them. He said the Klan was fighting for white people the same way black people should stand up for black people. But the interesting thing was that the most famous black man of the early part of the 20th century, until Marcus Garvey, Marcus became the most famous, and he was the one that wanted to lead blacks back to Africa with the help of America and the Star Line he was trying to create. And go to Libya, which was land, by the way, the United States had already arranged with that country to repatriate blacks to and to help them create a society there. And that's what his vision was for blacks. He got over 1 million black people on signature, basically, to do that. And it was the most popular black leader probably in American history. He certainly was greater than Martin Luther King in his heyday. And the interesting thing about him is he was prosecuted by Jews. But there was another black who was really famous in early black, early century, 20th century history in our country. And he was W.E. Du Bois. Now, W.E. Du Bois was one of the few, and he was the most prescient black figure in the NAACP, the most famous black speaker in America. And he supported the NAACP. The NAACP was founded by 9 Jews and 1 black guy, W. Du Bois, basically, who controlled it, financed it, and did everything, right? And he went along with them because they said, well, we're for black people and all this other stuff. He fell out with the NAACP because he realized that the NAACP was not about black empowerment. It wasn't about increasing the betterment of black people, but he thought it was a con to basically keep black people down but use black people in their sorry state, you know, it's in wrapped in poverty and ultimately destruction of families came later, keep them in this state to make them upset and angry and then weaponize them and mobilize them in voting and so forth to overthrow the white people in the close elections where whites and blacks are divided, or white people are divided often up inside, white people, most of the voters. And then if they can get a portion of those whites to peel off, they have a way to win these close elections. And but anyway, he went against the NAACP, and he said he wasn't for integration, that he was for, you know, really the same thing the South was talking about, you know, equal but separate. He wanted black domination of its own institutions, its own schools, its own values, its own universities, where blacks could chart their own destiny. And for blacks to be free, to create their own true black experience and not a corrupted experience that was by white people. Of course, it was Jewish people, not white people, who were dominating so much of the media. Isn't that interesting? So even W. Du Bois was a man like that. These are interesting points today.
Yeah, and Ali thought that the black people should have their own country. I mean, I got the sense with Ali that he thought diversity was a good thing between nations, but not within nations. And that's right. Something like I might be wrong, Dr. Jim, I think you dedicate your whole life to that idea that you want to preserve all the races, but diversity, international diversity, diversity between nations is good, but diversity within nations, within white nations, of course. Would you go so far as to say that every nation should be monoracial in an ideal world?
I think what should be natural is natural. I think if a nation overwhelmingly wants to preserve its heritage and keep its nation and its percentage, like in America, we did it from the early part of the 20th century up until 1970, So from 1900 to even before that to 1970, whites were almost 90% of the population.
That's right.
And in 67, they changed the laws, and this was having an impact. And also, they stopped enforcing law, which is against the law, against the Constitution, and against your oath to take as an American elected official not to enforce the laws of America. And they didn't enforce the immigration laws that we had, even the legal ones, let them come in illegally as well. But this it's natural. People want to, have laws and protect their laws. Every nation's always had these kind of processes, and every nation's known that if you can't maintain your borders, it's impossible to maintain your nation. That's just simply reality. The Palestinians knew it, but now white people are being condemned for trying to do with their country the same thing the Palestinians are doing, and yet these same liberals who think they're talking about human rights are very happy to try to orchestrate the destruction of these fantastic, beautiful, creative, magnificent, scientifically oriented, justice oriented, democratic oriented, culturally oriented Europeans and destroy the European heritage this world. Now, one more thing. I'll just give one more thing. I don't want to run out of time here, but one more thing I should mention. First of all, I don't think it's in any way oppressive if allow people are voted to want to continue their country. And I also believe that there's choices people can make, and people should be able to move to different nations. And there, if people want to set up certain communities and they want to have a certain way, if somebody wants to intermarry, in certain areas of the country or the world, that can be set up to those people who want to choose that. I think that most people given the choice don't want that choice.
Yeah,
they want to preserve themselves. So what we're doing when we're forcing this stuff is we're really violating every kind of human right and every sort of human volition and every kind of human sovereignty we're supposed to be defending and protecting. That's why, again, I call my show Human Rights Radio. I call my message. When people ask me what I am, are you a white rights activist? Are you a white activist? Are you a whatever you are? A white nationalist, I just simply say very simply what I am. And I am a person who believes in human rights. And I believe that part and parcel of the principle of human rights is that every people on earth, my people and every other people on earth, have a right to preserve their own continuity, their own unique culture, their language, their traditions, their faiths, and create the kind of society like the Declaration of Independence called for in America. It's based on the will of the people themselves and not upon some foreign entity, even if it's similar to our heritage, like overseas in Great Britain, not to have some foreign entity be able to control us or somebody dedicated to interests other than that of the American people to run our country. And the same thing, I agree with that principle for every nation. I'm opposed to so-called colonialism in the modern world. I'm opposed to American 800 bases. I'm opposed to all these Jewish wars we've got. I'm opposed to this insanity and this hate and viciousness that's going on against Europeans, but also what's going on against the Palestinians and the Arab populations. Arab populations in the Middle East. Yeah, we had some wars years ago. The Ottoman Empire invaded us. And we invaded them back too in the Crusades. But, we've been pretty much at peace until the foundation of Israel. We don't need to be at war. They can have their countries. There was one time a white person could go to any country in North Africa or the Middle East, and you were safe. And you were, you could walk, you could live, you could converse, you could go to a restaurant, and you wouldn't be worried about terrorism. It's all changed since this new Jewish world we live in, which is the ultimate racism ruling over all of us.
philosophy, Dr. Duke, and there's nothing hateful about it.
I don't think so. In fact, it's the opposite of hate. It's it's actually true love of not going.
Thank you, Jack.
The enemy killing people and by the
millions. Thank you, Jack.
We have not been killing people by the millions.
We're going to have the after show, so make sure you show up. Thank you, Jack.
I'm going to be a short one today, I promise. I said keep saying that, but I keep saying
it. Yeah, well, you know, it is.
My voice is giving out. You got to keep my voice good, right?
Well, you haven't been talking much, so
I don't
know why your voice. No, I know.
2 hours of straight talk.
Yeah. We're closing in on
four minutes left. So we want to do a
statement. It actually ends a lot earlier than that. Though it is right now 7:57, right? 2 minutes, Dave. Let the listeners know where they could hear you this week.
Okay, I'll be on my Human Rights Radio show on the Rinse Radio Network tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, and whatever time you are in the world. It will also be replayed a few times. You can also get my program on archive. If you need to find it real easy, just go to davidduke.com, click up one of the labels under radio show, and then you go to the first one, which is an old show, but you just click on that. And it gives you a link to the archives from which you can look at the date. And we had some amazing shows on Friday with Mark Collette of Great Britain and other great, amazing shows this last week. Every show during the week, I think, was some of my very best. And you can go back and you can listen to them freely or go back as far as you want. You might end up taking a show or two a day because you're going to want to listen to all the shows. And if you don't start doing that, you know, I don't know how much longer you're going to live. But if you don't start looking at some of those older shows, you're going to find things from years ago. And there's so prophetic people writing me and calling me every day and saying, man, I listened to your show in, you know, in what was it, 2012, right? And I listened to your show in 2013. And everything you predicted then all came true.
There it is, Dave. All right, let me close the show. Hold on. Folks, thanks for listening. And somebody just put a message in. Next week is daylight savings time. So that's, I guess, spring forward. So time's going to move forward after the show. So we'll see you next week, and we're going to be in the after show now. So come on in.
Don't forget to tune in next Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, for the Dave and Duke Call-In Show, where David Gahari and the incomparable Dr. David Duke will take your phone calls and discuss whatever questions you want to bring to the table. See you next Sunday.